Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
There will be.
Here's John Williams.
Math in just a second. Speaking of big thoughts, hi, it's John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. I hope you're having a good day. We are.
Lord have mercy.
It's a nice week, isn't it? It's about 82 degrees right now, and while the sun is not shining, you know someday it will. Although I got to tell you, I look at my phone. I have this 10-day weather app, and it's nice to sometimes see a bunch of sun balls lined up in 58, 62 degrees. I haven't had that. We're due for a nice run here, and I don't see it coming anytime soon. I'm talking about 60 and sunshine 4 days in a row. Gordon, get on that now.
I'm just worried I'm going to have to do math. I'm going to have to leave the seat very quickly. I hope Steve can do math better than me.
Don't worry, we've got Elif.
Okay, good.
I'll just bark a calculation at her and she'll come up with it.
Okay, good.
Did you see what the number one selling bobblehead of all time is?
Yes. Awesome is that?
Were you all talking about that? Were Bill and Wendy talking about that? I suppose we've all had a run at this story, but let's hear it for Sister Jean.
She's amazing.
I just got a pitch, and I may actually talk to this guy. It's a sports marketing specialist out of Indianapolis. I've talked to him before. He's actually pretty good. And he said, the Sister Jean story, how it relates to how you can market your business better, da 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 da. And it's like all of the things that are happening about Loyola, you know, how can you sort of capitalize on that? Of course, the Loyola, they didn't invent a Sister Jean so that if they ever go deep in the tournament, they'll have a neat storyline. It has to be organic. It happens to happen naturally. She was Sister Jean last year. You weren't paying any attention to her.
Well, that's what makes the story so great.
That's
She's been
so
Sister
fantastic.
Jean for years.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there was I think it was in the Tribune. I haven't read it yet. I just saw the headline, but it says something about the Sister Jean story can teach you also how to relate to the elderly, which I haven't read the story yet. I just saw it, but a little blurb. But I just think that's interesting, too, that we have to be told how to relate to the elderly.
When you talk about the calculation, I don't know how you could ever sort of quantify this, but somehow this has to be good for the world, that after all of these games, these young athletes bend over and give this little old white lady a hug in a wheelchair.
And she'll take it as sweaty and gross and smelly as they are. She loves every minute of it.
And it seems like they know her. This isn't gratuitous. They like her. She knows and likes them. It seems like genuine affection. Think about that for a minute. When's the last time you saw 12, 20-year-old men bend over and give a hug to a little old lady in a wheelchair? It just you don't see that.
No, you don't.
And if you do, it was in a movie and you saw it once. You know, it just does not happen, or at least you don't see it happen. And I think that's a wonderful imprint on the American psyche. That has to have
I agree with you 100%.
Some value.
And the other thing that's cool is if you look at the flip of that, because all older people want to relate or interact with young people. And I think that's the beauty of Sister Jean. And that's what's also keeping her young, is that she transcends all generations.
Agreed. Totally. Totally. I mean, you're right. It's going up and it's coming down. It's just so nice to see both of them there for each other. And I'll flip it again. Too often, the image that you see of young African-American men on TV in Chicago is in unfortunate stories. This is just positivity, 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 positivity. It's a wonderful thing. And it's true. So she's selling 1.7 bobbleheads a minute.
She's sold out.
How is it that she's the best seller, though? I mean, I don't know. Doesn't Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Chris Bryant, doesn't some of those guys have bobbleheads?
Well, and some of them have more than one bobblehead, as well as Sister Jean, because she has, this is her second bobblehead,
which is already
sold out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think she has two, but they've run them like 2011, 2015. I don't remember exactly the years, but you know, and the great thing about this bobblehead, too, is that proceeds are also going to two nonprofits that she loves.
Boy, if I find out, if she shows up at a beach in Hawaii, you know, in a cabana with a drink with an umbrella, and she's skimming, if we find out that this story goes south on us, it will ruin everything that we've described.
I'd be okay with this. She deserves a vacation.
She's 98.
Is she getting on Ellen, though? Because I know there was a big petition started to get her on Ellen. Has she gotten that?
I haven't seen that happen. Yeah, really. Ellen's people are very good about capitalizing.
She'll end up on Ellen. Remember guaranteed.
Remember that little kid who was at the fair and the TV reporter came up and he said, I like to watch the Powerball. Remember that little kid?
Yeah,
he was on Ellen he was on Ellen multiple times.
And I think she just had on the kid from the Super Bowl whose video went viral with Justin Timberlake. And Justin Timberlake
did the selfie.
Yeah. That kid didn't seem like he was in on it enough. Well, anyway, congrats to Sister Jean. And whatever befalls her, I'm kind of with Violetta. If we did see her at some club, if we saw her clubbing, and I'm not even sure what that means, but I understand it involves cocktails and the good life. If we see her doing something, that we go, oh, Sister Jean, I'm not so sure. All she's got to do is go, hey, I'm 98. I was here last year. You weren't. Back off. But of course, that's not going to happen.
No, she seems pretty genuine, and like you get what you think you're going to get with her.
She's the real deal. Here's the angle on the story of the White Sox groundskeeper that I just don't think is getting enough attention. We will talk to the attorney that represented him and got him out of jail. You know, this is a guy that was on death row, Nevis Coleman, who was the best employee, it sounds like, you could ever have at a company. He was one of the groundskeepers for the Chicago White Sox, right? He served 23 years. He was on death row.
I'm not sure that's true, John. He was wrongly imprisoned, but are you sure he's on death row?
This is the way I read it. I went to the, what's the organization that advocates for these guys? Innocence Project. The Innocence Project says April 28, 1994, the body of Antoinika Bridgman was found in the basement of an apartment building in Chicago in the West Garfield Boulevard area on the south side. Michael Barger and a 25-year-old Nevis Coleman discovered her body. Nevis's sister, hold on a second, where is that? Can you hear that thing buzzing? My phone's bothering me. Nevis Coleman's sister lived in the building in which this young woman was found dead, and Nevis was there at her birthday party. The police discovered this woman who's been killed. Coleman later said that after sitting in an interrogation, so he is arrested and charged because I guess he was there. Coleman later said, after sitting in an interrogation room for 30 minutes and denying any involvement in the crime, a detective came in and called him a lying ass, N-I-G-G-E-R. When Coleman insisted he knew nothing, the detective punched him in the side of the head twice with a closed fist. Detectives then told him that if he just answered their questions, if he went along with their version of what happened, he would be allowed to go home. The detectives rehearsed what they wanted Coleman to say, and ultimately Coleman gave a court-reported statement that implicated him and another couple of guys as being involved in the abduction, rape, and murder of the young woman. He was on death row, as I understand it, Steve, and was only not, I don't know if at the time, if in fact we were executing people or not, because we stopped that after a while, but May 13th, 1997, here it is. Judge Dennis Porter denied the prosecution's motion to impose the death penalty and sentenced both men to life in prison. Thank you, Steve, without parole.
Yeah, and it looks like during that push for the death penalty, character witnesses stood up for him at the sentencing, and at least three Sox employees, fellow Sox employees.
So you've got these Sox buddies of his, which is a weird thing, isn't it? So there you are. You know, you don't know what happened that night. All you know is this was a good guy at work, and something evidently happened in that building, and now he's been convicted of rape and murder. So maybe you were wrong. Maybe he's not such a good guy. Or maybe he is a great guy and the cops got it wrong. Or maybe both are right. He was a great guy at work and a terrible guy that one night. So what are you supposed to say or do? Thank God these people stepped up and advocated for him, right? So they do. They say, no, he was always a good guy, always worked hard, always on time, loved his job, loved people. No priors of any kind.
Well, you wouldn't do that for someone you really didn't believe was a good character.
I guess not. I'm glad these people stepped up. So 23 years later, he comes out because the DNA evidence now proves that that wasn't him, it was somebody else. That guy does not get 23 years back. That's a crime. That is a crime. And this guy is pretty good about it, right? He was released last fall. The White Sox, God bless him, have a job waiting for him. It's part-time now. Maybe it'll be full-time. Lord, it should be full-time. But Lord, this guy should be compensated. And here's the math I was thinking about. If you're in jail for 23 years and you've not only missed life, but you've missed any opportunity to earn money. He was making socks at a plant in the jail. I mean, if you're in jail for 23 years and you're missing what the average salary is for 23 years, I'm thinking that's about $1 million.
Pretty close.
So that guy, when I get to be king, and I think there is this measure of recourse. Again, I'm going to talk to his attorney who's out of town next week. But it would seem to me like you ought to be able to go to Cook County or the city of Chicago or Donald Trump or somebody and say, here's how much money I'm due. And then I want some sort of punitive damages. Then we need to give me even more than that to keep you guys from beating confessions out of people who don't commit crimes.
Well, maybe the person who beat it out of him is the one that should pay him.
Fine. Somebody owes this kid, this man, some money. Elif, what is the amount of money that this guy is due?
Calculating. $1,518,460, John.
Say that number again.
$460, John.
$1,500,000. So that's 23 years times...
$60,000. No, I'm not sure.
What do you got there, Elif?
23 years at $66,020 a year equals $1,518,460.
How about that? 1.5. And then I'm going to double it. I'm going to give this guy three. I don't know. We got $3 million laying around somewhere. This guy shouldn't, he should work, and he wants to work, but he should be given a check for his time served.
The money is definitely important, and I see where you're coming from, but I think this guy would have given anything since he knew he was innocent to be out. So I hear what you're saying, he should be compensated, but at the same time, I'm sure in his mind, the freedom of not being in jail anymore for a life sentence that he didn't commit is... Well, a relief, even if he's not going to get paid.
I'd like to ask him that. By the way, we asked the White Sox. We said, hey, can we talk to this guy? And, you know, they're not, and maybe it's just as well, right? This guy, you know, didn't go to jail or get out of jail so he can be on talk radio. But I'd like to ask him that question. And I haven't heard a good conversation about that yet. How do you feel about how you were treated? And he's just got such this positive attitude. He's like, you know, I'm just happy to be out. First thing I did was get a hamburger and go hang with my kids.
And grandkids now.
I know. Isn't that weird?
He had very young kids when he went in.
And so, God, you know, you miss your kids growing up. You're missing your grandkids. All you want is a hamburger and to be with your family. Thank God. And then I get out of my way. I've got to put on this tarp and spray clean the bleachers. I just want to go back to work. What a great guy. What a great message. And he needs $3 million. This guy should be compensated. Not only because, A, he shouldn't have been in jail, but B, you need to send a signal to the county attorney, the district attorney, the state's attorney, whoever prosecutes these cases, and the cops that you can't beat confessions into people. You can't do that. You know, maybe they got it wrong innocently, right? Maybe they didn't punish him or punch him too much, and I don't know why this guy signed that document, but he's not guilty of this crime. Maybe the cops didn't know it either. Maybe they actually thought they had the guy and they weren't just busting a poor young punk in so they can be done with this case. I don't care if they did it on purpose or if they got it wrong accidentally. I think the system needs to reward this guy for the time that he missed, his life. It's 121. I wonder what you think about that. It's 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in, and I want you to chime in. 312-981-7200. Hey, John, DNA has been out for a long time. Why did this take so long? There's an answer to that, and we'll spend more time on this story with the attorney next Monday. John, maybe this guy should get a World Series ring from the White Sox. Yeah, that would be, you know, actually, that would be a nice gesture. I don't know if they can go back and get one, have another one made up by those, is it Jostens folks or whoever makes the World Series rings, but yeah, I That would be nice. It's not $3 million. It's not 23 years of your life, but there does seem to be a nice connection there. Oh, and by the way, we won the World Series, and we saved you a ring. Tears. Tears. John, what does Donald Trump have to do with this? This is a state or local issue. I know it is. But I'm just saying, you know, somebody in America, the president of the United States, the federal, the state, the local, somebody, there should be a system where somebody is wrongly incarcerated. They should be remunerated somehow.
Plus, if nothing else, he's a millionaire. So if he wanted to take it upon himself, he could pay someone.
Say that again?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. And if you're a billionaire, that would be, I always thought, the fun part of being super duper rich is that you could just see these sort of injustices in the world and go, ah, you need a new park? That school needs a new art department? This guy was wrong? I would just be writing checks all the time.
Yeah, I think that's not how people get rich, though.
I do the same thing, John. I'm like, okay, let's say I win $150 million. I could give 100 people I know $1 million and still have more than I could ever.
One of my fantasies.
You guys are looking at it all wrong.
One of my fantasies is to get like my family or everybody at work or, I don't know, some group of people that would be fun to be nice to. I'll walk them into a car dealership and then pick out the saddest looking car dealer dude and go, this is going to be a day you'll always remember. Everybody gets a new car. And then he's just writing up full price orders. And I said, don't come down. Right. I want the sticker price.
We don't need a break. You don't need to see your manager. We'll take it.
In fact, throw in an extra 100 right. for the wife and kids.
Extended warranty? Absolutely.
I'll even take the wheel locks.
I want the undercoating on the undercoating.
And here's the thing. We want you to put your sticker on our bumper.
That license plate rim thing? I want the license plate and two of your stickers on my window. How much fun would that be? That would be better than going to, you know, buying a house in Florida and getting a boat. That would be fun.
I would love that.
And by the way, 150, you get to do both. John, how much did it cost the state while this guy was in prison? I don't know, but
who cares? What kind of a question is that?
Hey, wait a minute. We gave you three meals a day, fella, and we gave you that valuable skill of making socks, so maybe you owe us a little something
that
for the effort.
That is just a terrible, I'm sorry, that is a terrible question.
Sorry, 815, but we're throwing that one out. John, yes, he should get a big check and help investing if needed. Why, he should visit Private Vista. Visit myprivatevista.com today. John, I believe he deserves money way more than government employees with cushy retirements. Didn't see that one coming. John, give him what the cop earned for those years and then lock up the cop for that amount of time. If you know the area, you can triangulate the temperatures.
You guessed.
It's 52.
Oh, no.
No, it's not. It's 47.
47. Carol, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. Can we do something for you?
We're calling to tell you that I had my fifth shot yesterday, and Dr. Henna, we were telling him we've called you before from Tom's at Stacks, and my partner Norm, when you go in next week, tell him that I called you, and Norm was with me. He's a World War II vet. Dr. Henna loves to talk to him.
Okay, now we got a lot of information you're throwing at me here. Stacked is the Pancake House.
We've called you before, and we've seen you at Bourbon Street when you came there. So we were telling Dr. Henna about how we love to listen to you.
I appreciate that. So you took my advice, and you went to the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park.
Right, and I had my fifth shot yesterday, and Megan is the one that puts them in. But Dr. Henna always comes out to talk to us because Norm is the World War II vet.
Sure, I've met him. Well, how are the knees doing, by the way?
My knee is doing wonderful. But when you go in, he told us you're going to come in, and he told us...
I'm coming in Tuesday. I'm going in there Tuesday.
Well, I didn't know if I should say that, but then you tell him.
It's patient information, ma'am. You can't just be calling in and sharing that with anybody randomly.
I know. That's why I didn't say that. But we just love it, and we love talking about you, Jen.
Well, aren't you sweet? Well, my best to Norm, right?
Yes.
And I'll see you again, and I'll say hi to Dr. Hannah on Tuesday.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, and have a great day. Okay.
Bye now. Carol decided to call and tell us that. I didn't ask her to.
She's so cute.
I know. Listen, we're all in this together. You got something you want to share? 312-981-7200. The story that I want to talk about maybe tomorrow, too, is in the Sun-Times today. Ordinance lets animal control, police help pets in hot, cold cars. If the cops are able to bust in windows and pull out cars, dogs and cats from cars, I think that in general is a good idea. I'm just telling you, though, if you go down that path, you're going to have nothing but trouble. Steve, do you think this is going to be an ordinance that they may end up regretting if we empower the cops or citizens to break into people's cars and free pets that we think are imperiled?
Well, you know, I'll trust police officers to do that, but not me or you.
Me or you?
No.
Because someone's going to come running out going, Fluffy is fine. It's not that high. It was in and out.
I just don't think we should authorize, you know, unless a child's life is at risk, people breaking into other people's property.
Yeah, that's a conversation for tomorrow's show.
My dog always looks like she's, you know,
having trouble breathing.
I know. What if you had a boxer? How would you know?
I didn't know how to end that, but yeah, my dog never really quite moves.
You have a bulldog or a boxer or my dog who just has trouble moving too. I don't think my dog's had a comfortable moment for a while. Where are we here? Okay, so I want to play for you a commercial that's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. It is the Heineken Light ad. This is an ad for Heineken Light. There is no words. There's simply music and a scene, which I, for you, will now describe. It's a little beachside cocktail spot. The bartender in his binoculars sees a beautiful woman way at the end of the bar. He gives her a Heineken Light and sends it sliding down the bar. It goes past a beautiful woman of color, a beautiful, good-looking black guy. A black guy playing a guitar, and then another beautiful woman of color. It's kind of a Polynesian, African-American vibe as the bottle slides by all these good-looking people. And it finally lands in front of a woman who looks at the bottle, and it says Heineken Light. And the ad says, sometimes lighter is better. Sometimes lighter is better at the end of the commercial.
So the actual words didn't bother me, and even reading the description of the commercial didn't bother me, because I thought it was people in the background. Like, I thought the beer just slid down the bar, and you couldn't make out faces, couldn't make out things, and people were reading into it. But it's very clearly they chose who to highlight. The way the beer went down the bar, and they only chose African-American people.
Right. So Chance the Rapper says, and by the way, Heineken has pulled this ad. They've pulled this ad. Now, Chance the Rapper has a pretty big following. I mean, who was it that cost Snapchat $800 million?
Rihanna.
Rihanna didn't like the changes that they put on that platform. And by the way, 1.5 million people have signed a petition. Maybe they'll do something about it. But Rihanna says, I don't like this. And the value of that company dropped $800 million. So Chance the Rapper is a giant star, too. And he said, man, that is some racist stuff in that commercial. The bottle goes by all these black people and Polynesian-looking people. You know, they're kind of blended, beautiful people. And then it lands in the hand of a woman who, by the way, herself is not Caucasian. I'm not sure what her ethnicity is, but...
But she's lighter.
I guess she's a lighter person of color than the other darker people of color. But here's what I saw. Seriously, if you didn't tell me this was... In fact, Elif played the spot for me. She says, do you see it? And I did not know what the controversy was.
I didn't see it either. I
saw an ad that was 100% people of color. The bartender's a person of color. The woman that ends up with the bottle is not from Minnesota. And everybody that the bottle slides by. And then at the end, by the way, it says 99 calories in the bottle. 99 calories. Sometimes lighter is better. Is it that the bottle landed in the hands of a woman who's lighter complected, and it went past all of these darker hued people? Oh man. Yeah, that's it. That's what Heineken was saying. They were saying that it's better if you give our product to people who have lighter colored skin. Sure, busted. Yeah, that was the message.
I mean, I could see them. I'm not denying that could have been their goal
No, it's not.
I don't know. I'm not a mind reader, so.
I am, and that's not their message. Now, here's what could have happened, though. Say somebody, I don't know why they don't do this. They should call me and say, hey, John, what do you think? I mean, just call an average citizen and say, here's the spot. What do you think? Because somebody could have said, guys, do you see that lighter is better might be a mixed message for all of these people of color that the bottle is going by? And though that's not at all our intent, we're trying to amplify our audience, not shrink it.
Right.
Do you see how some people might interpret that? And then they would go, well, that's a stupid interpretation. And then I would say, yeah, it is. And that will happen. And then they would pull the ad before it ever ran. I don't see the problem with that. But in this day and age, you don't need that trouble. Get another ad.
Unless also, like Chance the Rapper was saying, that companies are now doing this on purpose to get more advertisement. Who else would have? We wouldn't have watched that Heineken ad. We wouldn't have gone and sought it out and looked at it.
Yeah, but Chance is asking you to believe that this conversation, all of this free extra traffic and mileage that Heineken is getting now, is good for them, right? That because the only way his argument makes sense is if this discussion helps Heineken. Heineken Light. There, I said it again. You think that they're loving this? I'll bet they're not. They're the ones who pulled the ad.
Subliminally, yes. I mean, I'm thirsty just hearing it. But you're right. So
is this helping Heineken Light, this very... Because that's what Chance wants you to believe. And Chance is a smart guy. And for a man in his, what's he, 24 now? How old is Chance the Rapper? He's a young guy. I mean, he holds his own on education funding with the mayor of Chicago. I mean, props to him. But I think this is too easy to go down this road. Chance, don't take that bait. You're smarter than this. This is not what's happening. Let it go. In fact, if you let it go, that would be a sort of elevated view of this ad. It would be, sometimes there are an ad that's filled with people of color, and it's not racist. There's no subtext to it. It is what it is.
Well, that's also the flip side. I mean, typically, most commercials or most advertisements, they have maybe lighter or not African. Typically, the African American character is almost planted in there, right?
Yeah.
Let's put an Asian, an African American.
Sure.
A man,
a woman, right. It's
right.
This very deliberately blended image of people you
of
see.
Of everybody,
yes.
Right. So typically you wouldn't, and this is an example where it's the opposite.
It's
you notice the lighter person in it as opposed to the one or two plants of diversity.
Imagine the ad agency that's going to get in trouble for this. Trying to please an audience in this day and age, right? You've got to represent women and you got to represent minorities. It would be good if you had somebody who was dealing with a disability. Why don't we throw a wheelchair guy in there, right? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If it was a bunch of white people enjoying Heineken Light, they would go, sure, light skin, light people, we get it. No. This ad doesn't do that at all. It has all people of color.
And if anything, the light comes from the island vibe. That's the whole point of the commercial. They're on a resort. They're living life up. They don't care.
And it's a light beer. It has 99 calories. So I'm a fan of Chance. You're a fan of Chance. Everybody appreciates what Chance is doing. But boy, is he wrong on this one. That ad is A-okay.
One other point that I haven't heard you guys mention yet is that when he has the binoculars, he's focusing on a glass of wine.
Oh, no, he's focusing on her chest. When he puts the binoculars up, he looks down the end of the bar. It's a long bar. Funny, huh? And down there is this beautiful woman, and she's got a glass of wine. But
I'm not naive. I saw that, too. But there's also a glass of wine there. So they could be saying wine has more calories than the lighter.
Absolutely. I think
right,
they're saying...
Right. And it's white wine. So the lighter... But white wine is lighter.
Oh, that's it. I think a lot of women, when they go out drinking, will drink a Chardonnay
right.
or a Pinot Grigio. They're not going to have the beer, because they're counting calories, and it's saying, ladies, you can have this fun light beer and enjoy the day the way you would if you were drinking your wine.
Yeah, the commercial is also annoying because he's sliding the beer down, but then it goes underneath the person playing the instrument, so obviously not on the bar, and it's just sliding through all these scenes that obviously are not the bar.
Now that you mention it, I haven't thought about that, but yeah, the bar doesn't make sense then in that case. It's 1:50. You can see what we're talking about on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. Heineken Light got it right. Chance got it wrong. It's 1:51. This is WGN Radio. The What's the attorney, Steve Bertrand, that is suing? Is it the Cook County attorney or is it the Chicago state's attorney?
Cook County state's attorney. Facebook you're talking about?
Fox, Kim Fox. Yeah. Kim Fox is suing Zuckerberg. No, they're suing Cambridge Analytica, and they're suing Facebook over the misuse of your data. And Lisa Madigan is doing that as well. So the state of Illinois and the city are doing it both. So we're kind of leading the charge against Facebook here for the misuse of your data.
They better hope they don't have something sneaky on there they don't want people to find.
So I was on CNN.com, and they said, just so you know, here's what Facebook knows about you. It's fascinating. I did it. They said, it's sort of like manage my information. There's a button you've been looking at all the time on your Facebook page you haven't noticed. And when you click that, it'll take you to a page. And then you click that, and then they send you an email. The email then enables you to download everything Facebook has about you. So for me, I was looking at pictures, stuff you've long forgotten, stuff you didn't even think existed anymore, messages, videos, pictures, chats, posts. It's all there for years and years and years for me. I was stunned at how much stuff was just sitting there. And Facebook said, here's what we've got on you, by the way. And by the way, all of this has been made available to everybody, and it still is. I'm like, holy cow. Not that there was anything on there that I didn't like or want to be shared again, but the amount of data that I was very quickly able to retrieve on myself from them was impressive. Okay, so what can you do about that? After the 2 o'clock news.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
There we go. It's 2:07 on WGN. This is John. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. I want to be king someday. The
Lord have mercy.
Paperwork is tied up in Cook County. They promised me it'll come through any day now. Until then, humble servant talk show host until 3. Saturdays, I'm on from 10 to noon. By the way, did you see that Pretty Woman, the musical, finally debuts in Chicago? At least the big night is tomorrow night. If you come downtown, if you're in the theater district, they've got placards and signs and flags. Pretty Woman, the movie, you've probably followed this a little bit, is being made into a Broadway show. The pre-Broadway run is being staged in Chicago. That's where they're going to work out the kinks. And then they'll eventually run it into New York. Until then, they're going to see what it looks like here, and the debut of it is tomorrow.
So exciting.
I have been seeing promotions for this. Richard Marx was on. Was it with Bill and Wendy or Steve Cochran? They're talking about the show. And it was interesting because they said there are times where when they're staging a show, they will have a scene that will be pulled or inserted, whole songs that will be pulled or inserted. I guess that makes sense, but you'd think when it finally, you know, goes to the stage in Chicago, they will have figured that out, but this is the process.
Is it Richard Marx or Brian Adams?
I said Richard Marx, didn't I? I think it's Brian Adams, yeah. One of those guys. One of those.
I don't mean to be a corrector today.
Oh, God, please. Steve, you've worked with me long enough to know there's a very high percentage of the things I'm saying that are this close to being right, but are essentially wrong, and that would have been one of them. So thank you for that. It's no excuse, Your Honor. I'm interested in what the show will look like because I love that movie.
Me too.
I'm a Julia Roberts fan.
I've never seen that movie.
What?
Are you kidding me?
No, isn't that weird?
You'll have to turn in.
You
got to give us your city card back. That city key that you've got in your wallet, we need to.
Right,
need to
a City of Chicago key because I haven't seen Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
That was my first drive-in movie that I saw. Actually, was it Runaway Bride? I don't know.
What the heck?
No, yeah. don't ask about the story.
My son was, that was a movie that, one of the first movies we had on VHS. There were these machines called VHS players, and you would get a taped cartridge, and you would put it in the machine and then hit play, and you'd put some big cables into the back of your TV, and then you would be able to watch movies on
something called VHS. And then you had to rewind it.
VHS, and they wanted you to be kind and rewind them when you gave them back to a store that would rent them to you. And you were so thrilled to have a store that you could drive to and get the movie. and then give them $3.
If you return the other movie. Oh, actually, let me try my other name and account.
I know. Wouldn't you hate it if you go, oh, there's that damn movie. I'm still in the living room. Crap.
Home Alone.
$12. And I didn't even watch it or like it. But we digress. So one of the first movies we owned was Pretty Woman. So, you know, and you only had like five movies at first. You didn't have that many movies. So we would watch Pretty Woman a lot. And it was when my son was very young. He did not realize that it was a show about prostitutes. He called that movie Fast Car. Because in the scene where Richard Gere drives away in his fancy car, that was a fancy fast car. And she gets in the car with him, etc. But Grant called the movie Fast Car. Can we watch Fast Car? As long as he described it as the Fast Car movie, we knew we were okay to still let him watch it.
Well, she was like the least promiscuous call girl
right
around.
It didn't delve into the dark side of the skin industry. No,
right, other than her shopping on Rodeo Drive in her skimpy dress.
It just made being a prostitute seem utterly adorable and innocent, and you'd want to bring one of them home. And they're all very attractive, by the way, and highly intelligent.
Which is exactly what Richard Gere did for enough money.
Let's see here. Terry's on line one. Hey, Terry, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Jan, how are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Just letting you know I'm going to go see that play tonight, so if you want, I can give you a review tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm tempted to ask you to do that, but now I don't know if I want to see it, like, fresh. It's been running for a while now, right?
Yeah, my daughter's on spring break, so I bought three tickets. They were $58, and after Ticketmaster cost, it ran me $300, you know.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, the press night is tomorrow night, so I don't know. You're sort of like the pre-run, and then and then we'll see how they tweak it and change it. You know, nobody's reviewed it yet. Hedy Weiss and Chris Jones and them haven't even seen it yet.
Well, see, I can be your first review. How's that?
Hold on a second. Let me just ask my friends. Elif, you're going to the show tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Violetta, are you going?
I wasn't invited, but...
Steve, are you going to Pretty Woman tomorrow night?
No, I for some reason don't get invited to those things.
I didn't either, Steve.
Well, here's the deal. I don't know if I want Terry to call in and tell us it was awesome or not, because I want to go into it fresh. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Maybe I won't call you then.
Here's what I want you to do, Terry. I'm seeing it Wednesday. Call me Thursday, and then we can ruin it for everybody else together, okay?
That's perfect. I'm good for that.
And you know what? I actually have
Talk to you Thursday, Terry. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
I have a friend who saw the play like a week ago,
yeah,
and I messaged her about it, but I won't tell you what she said till Thursday.
Okay. Well, thumbs up or thumbs down generally? Thumbs up,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. Thing is, you don't even know the songs. Like, this will be all new music by Richard Marx or Brian Adams or Bruce Springsteen, one of them. It'll be fun to hear what the song... hopefully, it'll be really catchy tunes, memorable stuff, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, and I haven't been to a play in this city in a really long time. I chose this one specifically.
Yeah. Hopefully it's as good as maybe your friend said it is. I hope so. We'll report back to you on Thursday, but we won't ruin it. It's 2:13 on WGN. Okay, so here's the thing. Facebook is in the news, right? Zuckerberg, is he or is he not going to testify, Steve? Do you know what the status of Zuckerberg is?
There were reports earlier that he's preparing to testify. I think he's been invited to a hearing in April.
I'm a little...
Hey, come on over.
Here's the deal. I don't exactly understand how everybody feels about this, but to me, Facebook is a private company. It's not a utility. It's not your tax dollars at work. It is a private company. So if they do things you don't... I don't think they... Oh, Congress testimony or an explanation, right? I mean, if you don't like a business, then stop buying soap from them. Go get somebody else's soap. And if they say, well, nobody else makes Facebook soap, then you don't then don't have Facebook. If you don't like that company, if you don't like that platform, then don't use it. If you do, I think you do so at your own peril. You know, now I'm reasonable about this, but by and large, the regulation of companies like Facebook or Google or Twitter or any of them, it seems to me is misplaced, because those are private companies that are in to make money, and that's the end of the day. They're not out to, you know, be a conduit for anything other than them getting dollars.
Okay, I understand all that. So a newspaper publisher's private company, right? They're a private company. They publish a newspaper, but they are subjected to standards of truth, and they can be sued for libel, or if they print mistruths, knowingly print and publish mistruths, correct? Right? You live?
Yeah, I'm right. I don't want to agree with you too much because I know on a
trap's being set. Well, I'm not 100% sure of my own position on this, but so in many ways, Facebook is a publisher as well. The people get their news from Facebook and they put things out there. So should they have some responsibility to verify what's published on their site?
I think they should.
That's one of the arguments.
Sure. Sure. But I mean, you know, that's why I think I use the word conduit, Steve, A, because it sounds kind of fancy, but also because they aren't originating the information. They are a conduit. If you want to get a video, if you want to say something, you do it and you use them as the vehicle to say or do something. Facebook didn't say vote for Hillary or vote for Donald Trump. You did. You used Facebook to do that, just as an example.
Right.
Or if I said the 2 + 2 = 5. Facebook isn't verifying that. They're just giving me the opportunity to say it.
So if you spewed hate speech and the Tribune printed it, you couldn't sue the Tribune for printing it. You'd have to go after you.
I guess so, but I really do see them as different than a newspaper, and maybe that's the education I need. But newspaper hires reporters, and the newspaper and those reporters are held to a certain standard of truth. I don't tell me the lie that Mark Zuckerberg or Facebook hoisted on us. I don't know which one it is. Other people have used them for that. But
well, they were paid to spread lies.
Yeah. Okay, so think about how many people are how much stuff goes up on Facebook. How realistic is it to expect Facebook to be the truth police for everything that gets posted? It's the same problem that YouTube has.
They seem to know when I'm shopping for reinforced toed socks. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm just one lonely guy in the suburbs looking for stronger socks, and they can zero in on me. So I would think if
That's because they can make money off of you.
I understand
that. In their best interest.
So I would think that if I was advocating, you know, torching people and wearing robes, that they could find those people too and not allow them to spread their... I don't know. I kind of agree with you. It's like there's so many people involved posting so many things. How can they be responsible for all of it? And then when I talk to experts about it on the Biz Lunch, they say that's what they do. They mine the data. They can keep track of it when they want to. So they should be able to keep track of it when they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really... you're right about... I don't know. Everyone says regulation is coming. They're talking about regulating the political ads. I get that, but it's not the political ads that are changing people's minds. It's the fake stories that people think are real.
And so I'm saying to myself, well, if they just make as concerted an effort as is reasonable to expect from them, then again, I use it at my peril. And if stuff falls through the cracks, if I'm duped by bad information that Facebook didn't catch for me and I'm too stupid to be duped by, then I guess that's the...
Okay, so where that changes is it's not your peril, it's our peril. That's part of the where it becomes big enough to be regulated.
You
perhaps.
Mean so many people are being duped that it's a societal issue?
I don't care if you're convinced to wear a dress on Thursdays, but if enough voters are convinced to pass a law that we all have to wear a dress on Thursdays, you know, that becomes a problem.
I don't know. We let people smoke cigarettes. You know, we say you cigarettes are bad for you, but if you want to, that's on you.
We let a foreign government buy advertising that influenced the election. Maybe it didn't change the outcome, but a foreign entity's bought ads.
And how is Facebook going to catch that? How is Facebook going to fix that? I think here's what you need to do. Stop telling Facebook to fix your problem. You fix your problem. You got to be smarter.
Thank you, Rick Santorum.
Wow, that's on my permanent record.
Well, that's exactly what he said.
No, Rick Santorum said that those kids should learn CPR when people get shot, and that'll save the day.
Santorum said that you should stop looking for other people to fix the problems and fix them yourself, like learn how to administer CPR.
I'd like to think that what I'm saying is somehow different than that.
Yeah, maybe it is, but it's the same course.
Well, but I please at least acknowledge the following. Teaching high school kids CPR is not a solution to the gun safety problem. And that's what Rick Santorum said. Final answer.
Yeah,
legislators are supposed to pass laws. That's their job.
I know. I'm hoping Rick
Santorum, you know, thought about that a second time and realized.
He said the dumbest thing anybody has ever said. And by the way, shame on CNN. Talk about, you know, the conduit here. Shame on CNN for paying this guy. I know you've got to represent both sides. But CNN is so falling into the trap of, let's get a bunch of people to scream at each other on our multi-panel TV shows. And I'm sorry, you should have conservatives and liberals, but you don't need Rick Santorum.
Anyway,
that's stupid.
The parallel is Santorum was saying these kids are looking for other people to fix the problem rather than fix it themselves. And what you were saying is that the people who want Facebook regulated are looking for government to step in and intervene rather than just being smarter themselves.
All right, I'm not going to talk.
That's the point I'm making.
And I'm not going to talk to you about Rick Santorum anymore.
Yeah, I didn't mean really to bring him in.
But here's what I am going to say.
Kind of fun to do.
That if Facebook, say they do a mea culpa and they promise that they're going to do, hell, let the government figure it out. I just don't think it's humanly possible to make Facebook 100% accurate for you. You have to know that going in. So when you're clicking around and reading suspicious stories and going, hey, that girl with the razor cut from Parkland who's on all the TV shows now, you know, the one who's the advocate?
Emma.
Isn't she fantastic? Oh, no, wait. I just saw on this one website a video of her tearing up the Constitution. Oh, my God. That's the problem with these kids. And you can watch it plain as day. There's a video out there of her ripping up the Constitution. That's how much she loves or wants to work within the confines of this country. Here's the problem with that. It's compelling, the video. But what she was tearing up in actuality was a video of a target that you would shoot at if you were practicing shooting. You know, one of those human forms.
The bullseye.
The bullseye. She's tearing that up. People took that, they superimposed the Constitution, and you cannot believe that what your eyes are telling you is not the truth. It looks like she's ripping up the Constitution angrily, and it's bad for her image, and it's bad for the message on that side. Why am I telling you all this? Because you have to be wary of anything you see or read. Literally. If they
So there should be a pop-up that says things on this site might not be accurate? Is it just you need a warning label?
That should be on your birth certificate if you were born any time within the last 20 years.
Think of the person who takes that video and says, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll make it look like she's ripping
off the Constitution. They're the worst kind of person in the world.
Can you imagine
that? They're the worst person in the world. They're Rick Santorum.
He didn't have as much time to think about it. This person took a lot of time to download,
right.
Edit.
I'm not going to give Rick Santorum that pass.
Really? You don't think he just said something stupid?
No way. You think he's sitting there on a panel. He knows what they're going to talk about, and he knows something that'll get clicked through. He's a dolt.
But when someone's disagreeing with you, you start getting a little
exactly
agitated, and you think of any reason to say back to
that. That is so true. So now you're fighting the fight, and you go, I know how to punch back at these kids.
Learn CPR.
I know. Learn
today.
CPR. It's 2:22 on my digital clock. Soon it'll be 2:23. I need to pause. We'll take some of your... I didn't get to my main point, which was that here's a way to protect yourself from the information that Facebook either has about you or is disseminating about you. Those details in your calls next. Here's more from our good friend Rick Santorum.
Is this really all about politics, or is it all about keeping our schools safe? Because it is about keeping our schools safe. Then we have to have much broader discussion than the discussion that's going on right now. How about kids, instead of looking to someone else to solve their problem, do something about maybe taking CPR classes or trying to deal with... They took action to ask someone to pass a law. They didn't take action to say, how do I...
Yeah, that I sound like that, Steve, because if I do, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow.
No, you don't sound like that. I'm just saying that you had the same sort of, why don't you act on your own rather than look for others
to somebody act. Else. I wasn't even speaking about students. I was talking about all of us.
I know, but it's the same thing. The action must come from those who have the power to act.
Yeah.
And in the kids' case, it's lawmakers. And maybe in Facebook's case, it's the regulators. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just leaving it to you. You're not going to change it on your own.
This conversation needs a fix. Why, here's Mr. Fix-It, our very own Lou Manfredini, calling in from somewhere in the United States. Hi, Lou.
Hello, man. I'm going back to your whole Facebook conversation and how you think that they shouldn't appear in front of Congress and say what's going on. I don't disagree with you in the fact that I'm angry at Facebook for sort of mining all of this.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's their platform. They get to do what they want to do. But I think it's the best thing that could happen to social media is these kinds of breaches for us to start to realize that this stuff is so fake. What is it that you always tweet about is today would be a great day to subscribe to a newspaper.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We need to do a better job of checking on what people say and what people do, because people get all worked up in a frenzy, like your example of the girl tearing up the Constitution,
yep.
which she didn't do.
Right.
And so, you know, and Facebook has a real problem in the fact that Facebook is being used by you and me and Steve. It's not being used by Elif. It's not being used by Violetta. They're losing those younger people to that platform, and now the older folks like us are going, wait a minute, if you're going to do all this, I'm done. So the market is going to play itself out, and Facebook is going to become irrelevant if they don't fix it.
Well, that's a little bit of, and maybe this will sound naive, but that's why I think use it at your own peril. But trust me, they have as much an interest in getting this right as you do, or as a Senate committee does. If people don't buy or believe, or they don't like how their information is being disseminated via Facebook, then Facebook, this is hard to imagine, but Facebook will suffer. Say Facebook will be done.
But also to lose point, the older generation might not realize what they're reading is not vetted and it's not accurate. Yeah. I know what a meme is. I know the Onion is fake. I know that this might not be the real truth. Whereas maybe when you guys see something posted, you're like, well, why would someone put something up?
Wait a minute.
The Onion is fake?
I know.
Violetta, you're making us sound stupid.
Yeah, we're not.
This isn't about that. This is about stories that are printed as if they're true. Now, they're not jokes.
I'm not saying stupid. I'm just saying that maybe you guys think that there's more people are smarter about what they put up because you're used to vetted sources of information.
I'm not sure I follow that. I think what you're saying is that the older generation is less sophisticated about their use of social media. They're more vulnerable that way. The younger generation gets it. They know a lot of that is crap or garbage out there, or they see the difference between a parody site and a real site. But I think we're all more vulnerable than we know, and it's buyer beware. Hey, Lou, I'm out of time.
I agree. Love you.
Nice to talk to you. Nice to see you and your lovely wife the other night, especially your lovely wife.
Oh, we were busy, Lou.
I wasn't going to mention that we went out with the Manfredinis.
So what percentage of what you say on the radio do you think, oh, Lou could be listening?
Well, I know that everything I say he has an opinion about.
They have a low-grade glioma.
Not a GBM? I told you.
Cancer, Sean, it's still cancer. I have to undergo brain surgery, which is really scary because I'm not the one performing it. 5 days a week for 6 weeks of radiation, 10 more weeks of chemotherapy.
And then?
And then, with a little luck, you and I can go to the Super Bowl next season.
Oh my God, I was watching that last night, The Good Doctor. If Doogie Howser had autism, this would be the show. And he was a brilliant surgeon. That's this show.
Okay, can I say something? I did not know what the show was at all.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Donald Trump parody. That guy was talking like he was a bad Donald Trump imitator. I'm sorry.
No, he's kind of a doctor who's always, he was on the West Wing, and you've seen him on a number of shows.
Yeah, I thought it was the West Wing.
It's Toby. That's what Brendan and I say. Oh, it's Toby. He's always Toby to us, and he's always playing that same kind of sad, forlorn, brilliant, introverted guy.
It's his eyes.
And he really runs hot underneath there, though. And he's got cancer, but the good doctor talked him into getting one more test, and by God, he's got a chance. That's the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. And this is a show that I just wrote off as preposterous. And of course it is, but it's good. It's called The Good Doctor. Matt Rausch joins us on WGN Radio, the senior TV critic at TV Guide Magazine, to update us on that and some shows you might be watching tonight. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Wow, I'm just all choked up again. You made me relive last night. What can I tell you? And ABC, I think they're going to retitle the show The Great Doctor for next season because the ratings are so good. We'll see.
What did you think of that episode or that show generally?
I think it's a fine show. I'm happy that it's a hit. I'm happy when anything's a hit anymore in this fragmented marketplace, when anybody lands a show that people like. I mean, I know people sometimes scoff at how manipulative This Is Us is, but people love those characters, and I'm thrilled that it's a big hit show, and the fact that ABC's finally landed a big hit show that isn't one of those silly Shonda Rhimes melodramas, I'm kind of happy for it. I mean, there's elements of this show that are very television, let's put it that way, but yet it's very enjoyable. And I think Freddie Highmore making that career transition from playing Norman Bates on cable to playing this guy, he's really good. He's just really, really good. So I all respect to Freddie Highmore there.
You know, really interesting thing about the show, too, is, I mean, I'm sure a doctor would go, oh, this is ridiculous. You're not going to da-da-da-da-da. But the graphic, true surgical scenery that you see in this is sometimes jaw-dropping. You saw a bowel resection last night that was just something I had never seen on television before.
No, I agree. It can be that. They certainly do turn up the volume nowadays on these medical shows.
Yeah,
but this one, you know, the fact that it can be clinical but also so emotional, I think that's what people really like about this show, that it hits all those certain buttons. And if a few of the side characters are a bit much, there's the core there of Freddie playing Dr. Sean Murphy, and then his relationship with older Dr. Glassman, his mentor. And I think it is, again, Richard Schiff, you know, again, knocking out of the park, the gruff but lovable.
Yes, you know? Exactly. That's The Good Doctor. Roseanne debuts tonight, the new version.
Yes, back-to-back episodes, and then future going forward, it'll be paired with the show that sort of is its successor, the Middle on ABC and Future Tuesdays. But tonight is two episodes back-to-back. The new trend, not just of reboots, but also of revivals, where it's not just bringing the show's title back, but the original cast comes back. It worked really well for Will and Grace earlier this year, to the point where NBC has already renewed it for a third season before the first is even over. So we'll see what happens when Roseanne comes back, but I think ABC will be glad that they were able to assemble all of those original players, and I think Roseanne is very blessed to have John Goodman coming back after they unceremoniously killed him off in the final season.
Yeah, whatever.
And of course, they make jokes. They make jokes about it. The fact that why does everybody think I'm dead, or why does everybody make such a big fuss that I'm alive? Those kind of jokes. But what we've got here is a show that was quite groundbreaking in its day, showing a slice of Americana that you never see on TV. The people who don't make very much money, who aren't model perfect, who are sloppy, who are overweight, and so that sort of changes, and it hasn't really changed, and they're still living paycheck to paycheck. Now that we have Grandma Roseanne, because we're really dealing with the fact that her kids now have kids. Darlene is now a single mom with a surly daughter who's very much like Darlene was back in the day. That's the Sarah Gilbert character, and then Jackie is back, the sister, Laurie Metcalf, to have all these wonderful people back in the world of the Connor family, and the fact that they're also dealing with the realities of today. So there was even political arguments because Roseanne and Jackie did not vote for the same side in the last election, and they're not speaking to each other over it. One calls one a deplorable, the other one calls one a snowflake, and so you can figure out where that goes.
Yeah.
And so that's very relevant. I think the fact that the Connor family is still relevant to an America that is still struggling somewhat, and certainly struggling in the wake of this crazy world that we're all living in. I think it's to the point where in a couple of episodes you'll see that Roseanne needs like knee surgery. Her knees are giving out, but she can't afford it. And so they're taking these pills. And what happens if you get addicted to those?
So Matt, really, you've seen these episodes. What do you think of these first two episodes? Yeah. Is it pretty good?
I think it's pretty good, yeah. I mean, you know, the fact is the tone is the same. The fact that they are doing the tough love with sort of sarcastic humor, the bites of those jokes are very much the same that they were way back when. There's an element where, you know, some TV has kind of moved on, but there's still a place for these classic sitcoms.
And they look great.
Audience.
And I'm sorry, they show the old clips and the new clips, and Goodman looks like Goodman. Roseanne looks better than ever. I was not a fan of the show originally. I just didn't watch it, but I'm encouraged to see it now, and I can't quite put my finger on why. I want to ask you about another show.
Yeah. Sure.
You okay?
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I got a few minutes left here. Tell me about The Terror. Do you know much about The Terror?
Yeah, I've seen the full 10-episode season of The Terror, and I'm really a fan of it. I was a fan of the book many years ago. A guy called Dan Simmons wrote this big epic book. It's kind of a mix between a historical epic and a horror movie, where it's as if Masterpiece Theater had made a monster movie or something. It's got great British actors in it, but it's about two Royal Navy ships in the 1840s who go on an expedition to find a passage through the Arctic. They get trapped in the winter ice over successive winters. It's a survival epic, but while they're stuck in this alien landscape, they are also besieged by some kind of a supernatural force. There's a sense that they are where they don't belong. So this guy Dan Simmons took an actual piece of historical fact about these ships that went missing, and he's created a sort of a dark, scary story around it. So it's got all those elements to it over a 10-episode run, and it's unlike anything else on TV. So I always like things that don't look like anything.
What network's going to run that, Matt? Where am I going to see
it? That's on AMC. It began on Monday on AMC, so AMC. They were promoting it heavily out of The Walking Dead, and so it's a much more literary piece than The Walking Dead, but it has some of those elements of some graphic terror at the same time. It's got sort of a historical survival aspect.
Those of us who are fans of the Endurance and some of those great stories about the Antarctic exploration are probably attracted to it. I thought, oh, it's kind of a docudrama about that, but it's the other pole and it's complete fiction, so I'll keep that in mind. I wanted to ask you about this. I saw a story this week that said 40 of the top 40 cable TV shows last week, 37 of them were news and talk shows. You know, the Rachel Maddow's and a lot of the Fox shows as well. There were only three that weren't. One was that were scripted television programs. Some of them were also sporting events. But the three were a Hallmark movie, Hallmark Channel movie, one of those house flipper shows, just a random episode popped up, and Walking Dead. I cannot believe that Walking Dead has the staying power that show does.
I am kind of surprised, too, because the show is an ordeal to watch anymore, although recent episodes have picked up the game a little bit, but they've been way too long in this battle where it's basically just shootouts between the good guys and the Negan people, and I'm really bored with it. But people still watch it because it's pretty graphic, and they still are watching it because it has that kind of almost a video game aspect to it. Well, the thing, you know, the reason that the numbers are so strong for these things is that in the world of cable, those things that are live, people will be watching it, and they're so engaged in the craziness of this world of the politics and everything, so it drives the numbers. Whereas we don't really, anything that's like scripted, it's very rare when you're watching it in real time and as it airs anymore. I mean, so many people have unplugged that I think that that's why the numbers don't look so great in like real-time TV. But people are watching shows like all over the spectrum, and of course, you know, there's the Netflix factor that's pulled people away from watching regular TV. People watch a show like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW, not on the CW. They wait till the season's over, then they watch it all on Netflix over a weekend. So that's the way people are watching TV nowadays. So it really does affect the numbers, and it's really hard to know what a metric, what is a hit nowadays. It's really kind of even hard to know.
Are you excited about The Americans, and have you seen much of the new season?
I've seen three of the episodes of the final season. It is the final season. I am really almost fearful of the end game here because I love this show and the characters. They're anti-heroes. You really kind of almost don't root for them. I mean, they're embedded Russian spies, but I know it's not going to end well. It kind of reminds me of the end game of Breaking Bad. You knew something really terrible was going to happen, but you couldn't stop watching, and the characters were so compelling that you really enjoyed the ride, and that's what I'm doing with The Americans. It's really one of the best shows on TV. The final season begins Wednesday on FX.
One last thing about two reality or competition shows, American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. One of our listeners said, what's going to happen with Dancing with the Stars? I presume that they're doing fine. This isn't the last season
They're not real keen on what's happening this spring because with American Idol taking over Sundays and Mondays for a while, that it's going to be a shortened season of Dancing with the Stars. Going to come on at the very end of April. Oh. It's going to be an all-athlete edition. It's only going to run for like about a month, but it'll be back in the fall like it normally is and have a full season, but this is going to be a shortened, abbreviated season of Dancing with the Stars, kind of making way for American Idol, which is doing okay on Sundays and not so good when it goes up against The Voice.
I was interested. We talked a little bit here about Katy Perry's behavior. That's the only way to describe it, behavior. But I guess that blip is come and gone. I was hopeful for the show. I hope this is a good season. I hope I like the nice stories. I like the nice talent. I get wrapped up in the thing if you invest yourself in it. And I'm hoping that they'll be able to catch the magic again, you know?
I hope so. I don't think it'll ever be what it was, but it's not bad, and I still kind of prefer it over right now, the Voice, because I like the early part of the Voice, but once it becomes teams, and I just don't, and it becomes more about the celebrity coaches, if they keep the spotlight on the singer, and that's what American Idol does best as it goes through this whole, we just finished Hollywood Week, so once they really need to focus down on the big candidates and who's really going to pop through, maybe they've got it, and maybe it'll create a new superstar, but it's not. But there's no way for it to ever achieve that kind of mass that it had once upon a time. So I think they brought it back too soon, to be honest with you. But it's there anyway. It's unavoidable. So it's there. Watch it or not, like everything else on TV.
Read Matt Rausch, the senior TV critic at TV Guide Magazine. If you type in TVInsider.com or TV Guide Magazine, you'll see Matt Rausch's writing there. It's good to hear you, Matt. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me back on. It's nice talking to you.
Let's do this again sometime soon. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, John.
Rokan, Anna DeVlantis in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's going on, campers?
Well, let's see. Let me just run down some things for you here. It's always good to be in Studio A, as we like to say in the business, as opposed to out on the road. We're out on the road a lot. We were out on the road yesterday. We're going to be out on the road twice next week. We're going to be with you for the White Sox home opener.
Yep.
And
Cork and Carry?
Yep, at the Cork and Carry. There's a shocker right there that we would do the show from the Cork and Carry right before the White Sox home opener.
Totally works.
Yep. I would say that then we're back at the United Center. It's a different vibe there at the United Center right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's rather like, okay, what are we doing now? Who's coming back? Who's staying? Who's going? Interesting. So, anyway, so today on the program,
welcome
I know what
back.
You're asking.
Thank
you.
Good to have you in the studio.
It's good to be here. That was my long way of saying I'm really happy to be here. Michael Steele is going to join us coming up at about 3:20 today to talk about this. The census thing is interesting. There's like a little change here in how the census can be done in 2020. Yeah. And they're going to ask you if you're a foreigner, basically, who's living here.
No, they literally ask you that. Are you a citizen? And if you say no, then it's like, stand by, we'll come by and get you.
They've always tried
we'll
to
swing on by.
They've always tried
pack
to
your bags.
Boost minority involvement by, you know, having Spanish speakers say that this is not going to happen.
Well, how
ICE
are they
will not come after
how
you.
How are they supposed to, with the census, determine how many people are not citizens living in this country? I mean, what could they ask? Maybe the census can't. Maybe the census can't figure it out. But one question would be, hey, are you here legally? Are you a citizen?
Yeah.
Well, actually, those are different questions, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are you a U.S. citizen?
Sure, totally different
actually
questions.
Actually, doesn't mean that ICE is going to get you. You could be here quite legally.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
So, do you guys... Well, this is part of your show.
Yeah, so part of it, right. And then... Oh, you know what's interesting? Nell Scovell is going to be with us. She is a comedy writer who's mm-hmm. written for everything from The Simpsons to Barack Obama. And she's got a really interesting memoir out, and we'll talk to her about a life in comedy, what it's like to be a behind the scenes but incredibly successful woman in comedy, which has always been like a guy's game.
What time is that?
That's coming your way at 4:40, so I wouldn't want to miss that. Oh, and why your Facebook and your iTunes are not getting along today, we're gonna get the answer to that. If you're getting a bunch of error messages on your phone,
I've heard.
Yeah. Stay tuned, we'll get to the bottom of that. Oh, and Willie Wilson's going to be here.
I forgot. Willie
He's
Wilson.
Running for mayor. He announced he's running for mayor today.
Former baseball player Willie Wilson?
No.
The one who ran for president of the United States, who made his money in the McDonald's franchises.
Yes, he was a McDonald's owner-operator here. Very, very successful guy.
I don't know about this.
Very most famous for his catchphrase, nah, looky here.
He's going to
be with
guy.
Us. Yes.